Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.I. Shelton Jr. speaking. We count it a privilege to be able to come in your home again today with the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of our souls. We give an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. In the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve, welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 15. And having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both Jew and Gentile unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, the Gentiles, and to them the Jew that were nigh. For through him we both, Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth up until an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we praise thy precious name this day, that by thy Spirit thou hast opened our eyes and our hearts to thy precious word, and have us to see and to know that Jesus Christ is all and in all, and that by him both Jew and Gentile have been reconciled unto thee. We praise thee and give thee glory for the revelation of thyself to our heart out of the volume of the book. We praise thee and thank thee for thy precious blood whereby we've been cleansed, thy righteousness whereby we've been clothed, and for giving unto us thy Spirit to indwell us, and our body becoming thy temple, thy habitation. Our Father, open eyes to see thy truth today. Give ears to hear thy precious word, and especially as we show today in the message how we can become true Israelites, the true Israel of God. For it is in Christ's name that we pray and ask. Amen.
Oh,
to meditate upon what God has done for me in Christ, to read out of His Word the blessings that He has bestowed upon us through the reconciling work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to rest in His love, because He rests in His own love, because He loves us and died for us and gave Himself for us. We say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week, dear friends, for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. The letters have been gracious. Those whose eyes have been opened to see the truths that we've been bringing forth from the precious Word of God. And how many have said, we dared not come out with this truth. We saw it in His Word. But the other truth of pre-trib and pre-mill is so prevalent today that we were afraid to come out. But thank you, Pastor, for voicing what was in our soul and what God had taught us out of His Word of concerning the true Israel of God. We want you to write us if we can help you. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2703 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. Now, our book that we're giving away this month, entitled Thine Thoughts by Richard Baxter, it's an exposition of the Christian's hope for the life hereafter. Brother Baxter laid upon a deathbed for many months, and God was pleased to bring him back, restore his health. And these are the thoughts that went through his mind while he was laying there of God's dealings with his heart, the Christian's hope for the life hereafter. You'll want a copy of this book for your perusal there in the quiet of your own home. It is free and postpaid if you will write us. Ask for it by name, Dying Thoughts. Our mailing address is 2703 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. I praise the Lord for this weekly privilege of coming into your home with God's message from His unchanging, verbally inspired Word. I desire today, dear friend, to conclude these messages on the true Israel of God by showing you how God works by His Spirit in our hearts to bring us to Christ and to translate us from the kingdom of darkness, that is the kingdom of Satan, into the kingdom of Christ, and thereby making us spiritual children of Abraham, and therefore the true Israel of God. We showed you to you in our past messages that God's eternal purpose from eternity was to have a people made in the image and likeness of His Son, so that God would dwell in them and they in Him. To this, in our living God, our Heavenly Father, sent the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, that His people whom He foreknew from eternity would be brought by the Lord Jesus Christ through the shedding of His precious blood into a reconciled state before Him, justified before Him, and that Christ would rule and reign over His own spiritual kingdom made up of those whom He redeemed by His precious blood. His eternal purpose was that both Jew and Gentile would be fellow heirs together of the same promises, and that they would make up the church, the body of Christ, the true Israel of God, according to Ephesians 2:11 through 22 and Ephesians 3:6. The question is asked, how then does God by His Spirit work in our hearts to bring us to Christ, seeing we're dead in trespasses in sins? Listen now, as we go into our message for today, how do we become the true Israel of God? If we are made the true Israel of God in salvation, and if salvation is a spiritual thing deserved and understood only by a spiritual man, then how is all of this going to be done? See, we read in Scripture that the man to whom salvation in Christ is given is dead in trespasses and sins. How is such a marvelous work as set forth in 1 Corinthians 2:9 going to be performed? For there we read, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him, if a man is dead in trespasses and sins. How is a man going to believe when he does not know what and whom to believe, seeing he has no spiritual eyes with which to see his own sinfulness and the beauty of the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ? How is a man going to repent when he has no knowledge of what to repent of? How is a man going to flee from the wrath to come when he has no knowledge of his danger as a criminal before a just and holy God? How is a man going to seek Christ when he has no idea of how to seek him or of any need that Christ may fulfill for him? How is a man going to be constrained to seek light when he has no knowledge and is in spiritual darkness? How is a man going to love God when he does not know that he hates him? How is a man going to cry after liberty if he does not know he is in bondage? How can a man exercise a free will in choosing Christ when his will is enslaved by Satan? How is a man going to seek heaven when he is satisfied to go to hell? How is a man going to walk in the paths of righteousness and true holiness when he is satisfied with the paths of self-will, self-pleasing, self-confidence, and self-righteousness? How is a man going to pick himself up by his bootstraps and bring himself to God when he lies dead in sin? Again, the scripture asks the question, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? If this can be done, then and only then may you do good that are accustomed to do evil. Since an Ethiopian cannot change his skin nor a leopard his spots, neither can you who are accustomed to evil do good without the work of the Holy Spirit in your hearts. Therefore, how are you going to be made the true Israel of God? And all of this I've given you as scripture. This is the way the Bible describes our depraved hearts before God. And every man, by nature, is dead in trespasses and sins. He cannot come to Christ. He will not come to Christ. He must be brought there by the Spirit of the living God. So, to be made a member of the body of Christ, to be made part of the true Israel of God, it must be wholly and completely of God's distinguishing grace, based upon the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ by His blood shedding at the cross. And since you and I, by nature, both Jew and Gentile, lie dead in trespasses and sins, it is of a necessity that the Holy Spirit work in our hearts if we are ever saved and made the true Israel of God. We read in John 6:63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. You heard that? The flesh profiteth nothing. He is not a Jew who is one outwardly, but he who is one inwardly, whose heart has been circumcised by the Spirit of God. You see, the flesh has no part in the work of God. Listen to John 3:6, where our Lord tells about the new birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Therefore, we must be born again by the instrument of the Word in the hands of the Holy Spirit, for all fleshly activity amount to nothing where the regeneration of dead sinners is concerned. We must be born into the kingdom of God. Neither the logical arguments advanced by the mind, nor hypnotic powers brought to bear upon the will, nor touching appeals made to the emotions, nor beautiful music and hearty singing to catch the ear, nor sensuous trappings to draw the eye, are of the slightest avail in stirring dead sinners. It is not the choir, nor the soloist, nor the preacher, but the Spirit that quickens. For you see, the Holy Spirit finds you and I wedded to our natural stock, wedded to our lust, wedded to our pride, wedded to our self-righteousness, wedded to our self-sufficiency. And He must, by the love of God, cut us off from the natural stock and engraft us by faith into Christ, the good olive tree, and therefore make us one with Him and the true Israel of God. Listen now. The Holy Spirit, when He comes to our hearts, finds us like those spoken of in Revelation 3:17. We are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. So therefore, He has to bring the law of God into our hearts and to begin to convince us of sin, righteousness, and of judgment, and that we are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked before God, destitute of any righteousness that God will accept. Again, the Holy Spirit must convince us that though we pray and seek the knowledge of the Bible and strictly observe the Lord's Day and attend the gospel ministry, and even though our friends and neighbors see a great change in us outwardly, if we have not been broken from our duties and from our doings and have laid at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, emptied of all self, we are yet attached to the natural olive tree and have not been completely cut away and grafted into Christ, and thereby becoming the true Israel of God. You see, the soul that God saves and makes His child must come to know somewhat of its own emptiness, of its own nothingness before God. And I would like to ask a question. If indeed, as the pre-tribulationists and the premillennialists say, that the Holy Spirit is going to go up at the secret rapture of the church, I pray ask you, who is going to do this work of all those so-called millions that's going to be saved in the tribulation and a millennium if there was one? Who is going to do that work when it takes the power of God's Spirit working in our hearts? No, this is the day of grace. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. There will be no hope when Christ comes, for that ends it all. You see, the Holy Spirit must show us our hellish lust, and that we have a heart filled with covetousness and pride and malice and filthiness, and that to trust in ourselves is the road to hell. That's right. To trust in ourselves is the road to hell. God, by His Spirit, must, and He will, strip us at His feet and make us willing in the day of His power. Let's go further. The Holy Spirit, in breaking off and cutting off the natural tree, must show the sinner that he is a transgressor from the rule, that he came into the world a guilty creature, and that in the time of his ignorance, and ever since his eyes were opened, he has been guilty of many actual sins. And if those sins are not covered by the blood of Christ, they will damn his soul to hell. Again, the Holy Spirit must show the soul that for all he does, he is a sinner still, that his best labors are an abomination in the sight of God, and that his own righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. My friend, even though you do your best, the best that you can, you're a sinner still, and that ever your best labors are still works of darkness in the eyes of God. You still abide under the curse of God, under God's holy and righteous law. For we read in Galatians 3:10, "Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." No matter what you do, you cannot satisfy the demands of God's holy law. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Has the Holy Spirit thus dealt with your soul? Again, the Holy Spirit must show you that God will not accept part from you and part from Christ. Salvation must be all of Christ. You must be engrafted into Him by His work, and not part of His work and part of your own. It is wholly the work of God's Holy Spirit. We find that Jonah did, in the belly of the whale, that salvation is of the Lord. And it's only by the operation of the Spirit of God that any of us are made the true Israel of God. Again, the Holy Spirit must show you that saving faith is a gift. We receive it from above. The faith of the natural man is not the faith of God's elect. This surely strips us at the feet of Christ, knowing for the first time in our lives that we are at the mercy of another. Guilty, lost, ruined, undone, and helpless. And but for the grace of God and power of God, the Holy Spirit, we would be lost and lost forever. This is the reason I praise the Lord. Oh, I praise Him. I was a religionist, lost, and going to hell without hope and without God. But God, the Spirit, came and wooed me and won me and brought me to Christ and worked in my heart by stripping me down at His feet and letting me see that I couldn't believe Him. I did not know what true saving faith was. It was not the faith that I could work up, but it was the faith that God gives. You see, this is where the Holy Spirit has been bringing the sinner all the while, to a state of poverty of spirit, nothing in himself, all in Christ. It is here that He gives faith to lay hold of Christ as the poor sinner's Savior and Lord and Deliverer. And it is right here, and it is this way that He is engrafted in the true vine, the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of faith, and thereby made the true Israel of God. We are born into the kingdom of God by the Spirit of God. It's by the operation of the Spirit that we are cut off from the old natural stump, from the old natural tree, and by nature are grafted into Christ. If we were cut off from the natural and grafted into the natural, we could only bring forth that which we always brought forth, sin. But by nature we are taken out, cut away completely from the old stock and grafted in against nature into the true vine, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, and His life begins to flow. Listen. Christ lays hold of the sinner by His Spirit and draws him to Himself. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, who is Christ. And the Holy Spirit, who is the mediator, Christ Himself, and therefore is the Spirit of Christ, communicates to the repenting, believing sinner His faith, the faith of the Son of God, and thereby enables the soul to lay hold of the Lord Jesus Christ. He comes to our hearts as the sealing Spirit and abides in the believing soul, and thereby makes Christ precious and real to the heart and soul of that poor sinner. Listen up. Having grafted the repenting, believing sinner into Christ, the poor soul now gets a ravishing sight of Christ. He sees His excellency. He sees His beauty. He sees His glory as then revealed in the gospel. And he sees in Christ a full, suitable, willing Savior. And he gets a new heart and a new nature to enjoy and trust and delight in this blessed Savior, and to honor Him and have communion with Him and to hold Him by faith tied to His bosom. And he cannot let Him go. He will not let Him go, because He's been engraven upon the very palms of the hands of Christ. And oh, by His stripes we've been healed from the hurt of sin. Again, the Holy Spirit of faith furnishes the sinner with the feet to come to Christ and hands to receive Him. What by nature the sinner could not do, by grace he can. The Holy Spirit working in him the work of faith with power, for He makes us willing in the day of His power. The soul that once tried all remedies for his sin-sick soul now finds in Christ his life, for he has been engrafted into the branch through which flows all of the life-giving sap from the root. Christ is the root and the trunk and the branch, and we are one in Him. And for this I praise Him and rejoice in what He's done for my never-dying soul. Truly then, the soul who has been grafted into Christ is spoken of as being married to Christ, bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. He is spoken of as being a member of His body, and our body becoming His temple, the temple or dwelling place of His Spirit. He that is joined to the Lord is one Spirit. We have been made one in Him. The soul redeemed by the grace of God and made the true Israel of God can now say, "My beloved is mine and I'm His. His life is my life His inheritance is my inheritance. His name has become my name. His character, my character. His righteousness, my righteousness. His glory, my glory. His standing in heaven, my standing. Isn't that precious? And truly the soul that has been grafted into him is now dead, and he is hid with Christ in God. And as a true Israel of God, he looks for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, and where God will be all in all, manifested unto us in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we shall follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth, and rejoice in him throughout eternity, that ever he elected us, ever he called us, ever he justified us, and ever he glorified us in the Lord Jesus Christ. I can truthfully tell you today, my dear my friend, these 8 messages that God laid upon my heart, which I've entitled The True Israel of God, which came out of His Word, I can truthfully tell you I've never had a series that I've ever preached that has rejoiced my heart more than these messages have. And I praise God for opening my eyes and my heart and my understanding to His precious Word to let me see and to know the scope of God's eternal Word, that God purposed that all things would head up in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that He would take dead, vile, wretched, hell-deserving sinners, both of the Jews and the Gentiles, who deserved nothing but to be cast out of His presence forever. He would take them, and by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, He would take them and make them His very own and give them a new heart and a new nature, and call them His heirs, His children, His own blessed ones. And then desirous that when it all winds up, He will take us to glory forever to be with Him. And He will rejoice in us forever. We will rejoice in Him forever and sing the song of Moses and the Lamb, the song of redemption, and praise His holy and righteous name. Ever He called us and saved us by His marvelous grace. We're happy that you've been with us. If you want a copy of these messages, write us and we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid when they come into print. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2703 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. We're happy that you've been with us. May the blessings of our gracious Lord rest upon you and yours. Until this time next week, goodbye. And may God bless you.